I was talking to a sister the other day who is considering bringing her daughter home to homeschool. And she was talking about making that transition and, you know, just trying to figure out what would be the best options for their family. And of course, she approached me. We talk a lot about our favorite curriculum and how much we love it. And so she was curious. And I recommended that she register for the BJU Press Homeschool National Online Party happening April 15th through the 19th, because I thought it would be instructive for her. I thought it might answer several of her questions. There'll be speakers. Ken Ham will be speaking as a part of this online party. And of course, the homeschool consultant from all across the country will be answering questions. There's so many questions when you start to make transitions away from the things you've always done into the things that you would like to do. And so I want to encourage even you listening. Maybe this is a decision that you've been praying about and you want to get some answers to some questions you've had for a while. Why don't you check out our friends at BJU Press Homeschool? You can go to homeschoolhelp.com/party. That's homeschoolhelp.com/party and register for this online party. There are free giveaways and prizes, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun and super informative for people who are praying about the ways that they are going to disciple and educate their kids. Check it out. You have until April 15th to register, but I don't think you're going to want to miss this. homeschoolhelp.com/party. So I wasn't trying to bring you into an eschatology discussion, but I just want to know, because I'm trying to figure out if you and I are going to be going up together or if you're coming. I'm just trying to figure out if we're going up together or if you're going to be coming later, midway. What's your belief on this?
And my belief is...
What's your, I just need to know. I feel like we've been married nearly 20 years and I thought I knew what you thought.
Didn't I say pre-trib?
You did, but it wasn't a solid like pre-trib.
Well,
I could see,
you know, how others would believe. I can see mid or some form of like you'll go through something and then, but I can't see like Christians going through all of it. Like there's some people that believe that we just gonna go through the, you know, all of the times.
Okay, here's why I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Because there are so many things in scripture that would show you would have to have the absence of Christians for there to just be like, people are all going along with, like, I feel like devoted Christians, those who in whom the Spirit of God dwells, right? Would be able to say, wait a minute, that's the man of perdition. Like, oh my goodness, that's like, no, don't follow him. Don't go after him. And so, you know, I don't know. I just believe that, you know, the strong delusion that is sent will not be for those who have the Spirit of God indwelling them. I just feel like that's a conflict. Like, how are you deluded and the Spirit of God is indwelling you? And then you consider the scriptures that say, you know, but the lawless one will not appear until the one who restrains him is taken out, you know? And so I can't imagine believers being in this world without the restrainer, because he lives in us, right? Yeah, I mean, isn't my theology sound when I say that? He lives in us.
Yes, definitely.
So if the restrainer, like the one who restrains...
So is the restrainer, is he gone? Like, so for people that would believe, like, mid-trib, is there a portion where, you know, Christians will be here, you know, but then things will be stopped or shortened or days will be, you know,
and then the lawless one, then the Antichrist,
and then everything would just break loose after that.
I don't know.
I was talking to somebody, different people have so many different beliefs about that. I was talking to somebody, you know, at church who believes more of that way, and I understand what their argument is. But I tend to fall more on the side of being pre-trib and saying that, you know, just from the scriptures we read tonight, you know, about we're not appointed to wrath and stuff like that. But I've fallen on the side of, man, when I talk about this, I just want to encourage people to be ready.
Yeah.
Because you know, I know there's people who feel like I 100% know what it's gonna be, and then, but I'm like, man, but just in case, mm-hmm. if I'm ready at all times, like those wise virgins,
yes,
you know, I'm good, and mm-hmm. you're good too. You know what I'm saying? I think that's to me, that's a bigger thing. What Peter and Paul and Jesus were saying, live holy lives.
Yeah.
yeah. So no matter when the bridegroom come, you know, man, you're ready mm-hmm. and you're not scrambling trying to look for, oil. I just feel like that's the thing. Be ready, and the whole thing about the thief, that day is coming like a thief.
Yeah.
But Paul said, but you guys don't have to, y'all not going to be gonna caught be off that guard.
Way for you.
Y'all, because y'all are what? Ready. Like you've been, so I think to me, we can get into like, which one am I? But the main thing is, are we ready? Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's good. No, that's really good. And that's good. Because I think there is the risk of if you see some things start to happen that maybe you didn't have a construct for,
mm-hmm.
I could see how that could discourage some people mm-hmm. if they're not ready, if they're not holding on no matter what, mm-hmm. if it's like, it's gotta be this way, I've calculated it to be this way. Then I could see how that would be discouraging. But I my position is truly based on what I have read in scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this though, the genesis of that was what I was taught. That I've been taught that there is a rapture, that the Lord's going to catch up the saints. I've been taught that, but that is not why I remain of that conviction.
Mm-hmm.
I remain of that conviction because I also read in scripture and I see that, man, the wrath that we were supposed to receive
mm-hmm.
has been poured out on Jesus. He sufficiently paid the penalty for us, mm-hmm. sufficiently. And it wasn't just, man, it wasn't God is disappointed with you, so mm-hmm. he's going to punish his son in your place.
Mm-hmm.
It is the wrath of God because of all ungodliness, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 1. And so I just feel like that is sufficient. And by the way, it doesn't matter what I feel. I say that that's just my way of communicating, like saying that's what I think. But I believe that Jesus' sacrifice
mm-hmm.
Was sufficient.
Amen.
Amen. So anyway, that's why I land there. I know it was a shock to me to hear from Christians who no longer believed or who didn't believe mm-hmm. that there would be a catching up of the saints.
Yeah. See, and I think people who believe like that Christians will go through some, I don't know if they would call it tribulation or whatever. I don't think they believe that, that what they will be going through is God's wrath being poured out on them. I think they believe that there's a measure that, like, there's a intensity where Christians are gone, where it's going to be fully released. But there'll be some times of intense hardship before for the Christian as well before that happens. Mm-hmm. And then that's what I understand. People to believe like they call it mid-trib, but I don't know if it's really. That I think they just believe that, man, they believe that Christians who believe pre-trib think they're going to escape all like hardship.
Okay, but you have to make that argument for the Nigerian Christians.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make that argument for, look, I can make a case. I believe I can make a case that things are going to be ramped up in this country
mm-hmm.
for the Christians who are here now mm-hmm. in this and future generations, depending on when the Lord returns.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can make a case for an immense suffering, maybe not immense, because I want to show great respect for our brothers and sisters in the world who are suffering immensely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I believe there will be a suffering, and we're already getting sort of like the hints of this. There will be a suffering unlike any suffering we have known in the history of America,
mm-hmm.
For just because you are a Christian,
mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about just the sinfulness of man, right. and the ways that we suffer because of that. But I'm talking about a wickedness that is palpable.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of suffering that you see in the world, to set churches on fire mm-hmm. while Christians are worshiping. I mean, we mm-hmm. see that in the history of the church, That is a wickedness that inspires that type of behavior. We have been largely spared from that type of wickedness. Mm-hmm. There has been a posture and a position of the church in this country that I believe served as a beacon. And when I say a beacon, and I know people, I don't mean served as a beacon in the world. I understand that the, you know, God and country secularists who think that they're Christian, who put God and country on the same plane, would say that America has been a beacon in the world, and they solely mean the temporal, natural influence that we have had.
Yeah.
That is true. Mm-hmm. However, when I'm saying it in this particular context, and I say that America and the church here in this country has been a beacon, I believe that the light of Christ that was spread through the church being established in this area of the world, that beacon pushed back darkness. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that, but I believe our light has dimmed. Yeah. Not that Christ has waned in power,
right?
But the true believer is not the number of believers that we think it is. Certainly not the number of believers that we once had in this country.
Yeah.
And I think that affects the power that we see, right? I think there is a pulling back of believers. Those who profess to be believers are not living holy lives. You know what I'm saying? So anyway.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. I mean, and you're saying that like believers in Africa, you know, like you're saying that some people who would say that mid-trib stuff are people living in America, and they could say that, you know, they can say that here because they have not experienced maybe what's being experienced by Christians in other countries.
Yes. Yes.
And so,
hey, the Addisons are preparing for our heavy travel season.
We
are going to be at the Texas Homeschool Convention in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, April 18th through the 20th. I don't know if you are registered for the Texas Homeschool Conventions. There's two, right? There's one in Houston, Texas, and one in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Right.
And if you have not attended and you are in that area, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be encouraged. I like to say to parents, attend a homeschool conference because you don't know what you don't know, but you will walk away blessed. We're looking forward to it. If you want to visit with us, we'll have a booth set up and we'll be podcasting on location.
Yes.
So check us out.
Come
we'll be at the
hands.
Texas Homeschool Conventions. You can learn more when you go to our website, go to cultureproof.net. So now pause for a second. Okay. So that's please don't forget your thought, but you just saying that sparked another thought. And I want to throw this out at you. So if the Christians in America are saying, no, you're going to have to suffer something. You guys are just escapists.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to have to get a little taste of that wrath. You're going to have to get a little taste of that suffering and that, like, you know, intense persecution.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine the Nigerian Christians. And then also God saying, and also, but wait, y'all aren't done. There's more for you to go through. You see, that position is a luxury that an American has because it's been so good here. So it's like, no, we're going to have to go through something. But remember, Christianity is not just an American religion.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's something, and I could be wrong, but I think there's something that mid-trib people would believe is something even greater than what's happening in Africa right now.
Okay. But I don't know what's greater than death.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Because I think of when
maybe, you know, wider scale. I don't know what, but I know just from talking to a couple of people, they just feel like that the mentality is, you know, they feel like it's a very bad mentality, because if it's not the way that that pre-trail people think it is, then they see that as being part of the great falling away, like that people are going to like, because they're still here and they're experiencing some things that they thought they wasn't going to experience. So there will be a lot of people that turn away from God because that's just something, you know.
But I think the pre-trib believer also knows that there are other things that will happen that even as we approach that. So I think the pre-trib believer would have in his or her mind mm-hmm. that you endure, like, because you're yes, catching up is you what got, you're looking
and,
ahead to.
And I guess, you know, it could be American, a feature of being in America, but I think what they would be saying more like is, if it's not like they think it is and they're here, that would be, I guess they're seeing those believers as being kind of, I don't know if they're not really believers or flimsy, you know, because if they're still here and they feel like they're not supposed to be here, there's a belief that, man, a lot of people are gonna fall away. Like, the reason that they believe pre-trib because they're trying to get away. Because they're trying to.
Oh, man. I think that just is so sad, because I think that says something about believers' genuine hope in the Lord.
But I could see that in America.
You can see that people, if it people doesn't happen the that way be, that they.
And that people believe that way because there's. Well, I'm trying to, you know, nah, I ain't gonna be. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could see that in America. I could see that being like not wholesale, like people's motivation, but there'd be some people, just like people, how people are Christians because they live in America. Like,
oh yeah, I could see that. And I could see also how people, there are some people who don't want to go to hell, not because, you know, it's the absence of God, but because they don't want to personally suffer.
Exactly.
Yeah, I could see that.
But will we call those people Christians? I don't know. See, that might be, I don't know.
They may just need discipleship to understand how to love God. You know what I mean? And not just want to save themselves or be saved. You know what I mean? Right. Like, how to learn to love God. But I will say that the Lord wanted us to know what awaits those who reject his love his grace.
I always remember it was 2016, the things that was high on the list for evangelicals. One was like safety.
I think that's economy, safety.
You know, things that, you know, so that could that bleed over into someone's, you know, theology or their belief, you know, their doctrine or whatever about end time. I think it could. If you're living in a place of luxury or comfort, and, you know, it would be easier for you to believe, even though, you know, you can see this in scripture, but it would be easier for you to believe not based upon scripture, just based upon I want it to be this way and I'm gonna be gone. When all that stuff happened, I'm be gone. You see what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, it's interesting. I guess I have less thought of it that way and more thought of it that I'm living faithfully. Like, I'm not just like, you know, sitting and taking up space. Like, my thought has been, I so believe the promises of God, man. I want to live for his glory. You know, I'm awaiting his return. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid when I read the book of the Revelation because I trust that the Lord has spared me that wrath. Yeah. Like, but not in the sense of like, I'm like, well, I don't have to worry about anything because I know where I'm going. It's the feeling of that there. I trust him. Mm. I trust him. And I will say this, you know, no matter what happens, like I feel like if it doesn't look, I don't know exactly what it will look like. And you know, I feel like there's a lot that the Lord revealed to the Apostle Paul. But I feel like even he was like, we who are alive and remain.
Yeah.
He saw the return of Christ as imminent. So obviously there was a feeling and a longing that he had that so motivated, you know, the dead in Christ will rise, but y'all, we who are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up to meet him. And so I feel like there are some things about the return of the Lord that we don't know. Mm-hmm. Obviously day or the hour, I mean, being the biggest, right? But I believe that what we do know, man, we can hope in that he's good. And so if we go, and I want to say this, I do believe in before the wrath of God is poured out, I believe that those who believe that the wrath that was poured out on Christ is sufficient. Mm-hmm. I believe that even if it doesn't happen the way we think it's going to happen, you know, I think what you said earlier is good, that we need to be ready. We need to live ready. You know, we need to live with that hope and that expectation and the belief. And this is the point I was going to make. I lost it for a second. God is good. God is good. Like, and what I mean is that he's not good as I define goodness. He's good independently. His definition of good. And if God's definition of good is that we go through a portion of what we see in Revelation, then, and I pray that this is true for me. I want my heart to be, God is good. And he is going to, you know, restore all things. He's going to restore all things. So, you know, like if we suffer that kind of suffering, because we do suffer in the world now, that's not held back from us, you know. But if we suffer that kind of suffering, that like what we see depicted in Revelation, God is good. I think people get into trouble when they have tried to make a God that they want to worship. All right. I guess that's it.